Werkrealschul-Abschlussprüfung 2025. English Haupttermin. Listening Comprehension Test. There are four parts to the test. You mustn't speak during the test. You now have 2 minutes to look at all the parts. Now, skip to part one, please. Part one. Listen to Millie and Sam talking about exam nerves. You will hear the conversation twice. For tasks A to E, fill in the grid.
Hi, Sam. How did your geography test go? It was today, wasn't it?
Hello, Millie. Not so sure. I think it was okay, but I haven't got a really good feeling about it.
Why? What was the problem? Geography is one of your favorite subjects.
It is, but when it comes to exams and tests, I just lose my nerve. You see, I really worked hard for this test. I went through all my notes and learned a lot of the things by heart, but then all of a sudden I was blank. I couldn't remember anything.
Oh dear, that happened to me a few times when I was still at school, especially during maths tests. I became really nervous whenever class tests were announced. But I think one of the reasons was that I hated maths and I did almost no preparation for tests.
And then?
I would start to sweat. My heart would race, and I had to go to the toilet a lot.
For me, it was just like someone had wiped out everything in my head.
Does this only happen in written exams or in others too? I felt the worst in oral exams. Then I started stuttering or simply didn't know what to say.
Oral exams are no problem for me. I like talking to people.
Lucky you.
How did you get over it?
As I got older, I felt more comfortable in such situations. I guess it's just what age does to you. You feel more confident.
I've looked up some tips against exam nerves on the internet. There are a few websites that are worth reading. So I tried to breathe slowly, relax, and then started with some of the tasks I could easily do.
And did it help?
Strange. As soon as I had started writing, it all came back. At least most of it.
That's good. I do hope your results turn out well.
So do I.
Hi, Sam. How did your geography test go? It was today, wasn't it?
Hello, Millie. Not so sure. I think it was okay, but I haven't got a really good feeling about it.
Why? What was the problem? Geography is one of your favorite subjects.
It is, but when it comes to exams and tests, I just lose my nerve. You see, I really worked hard for this test. I went through all my notes and learned a lot of the things by heart. But then all of a sudden, I was blank. I couldn't remember anything.
Oh dear. That happened to me a few times when I was still at school, especially during maths tests. I became really nervous whenever class tests were announced. But I think one of the reasons was that I hated maths, and I did almost no preparation for tests.
And then?
I would start to sweat. My heart would race, and I had to go to the toilet a lot.
For me, it was just like someone had wiped out everything in my head.
Does this only happen in written exams or in others too? I felt the worst in oral exams. Then I started stuttering or simply didn't know what to say.
Oral exams are no problem for me. I like talking to people.
Lucky you.
How did you get over it?
As I got older, I felt more comfortable in such situations. I guess it's just what age does to you. You feel more confident.
I've looked up some tips against exam nerves on the internet. There are a few websites that are worth reading. So I tried to breathe slowly, relax, and then started with some of the tasks I could easily do.
And did it help?
Strange. As soon as I had started writing, it all came back. At least most of it.
That's good. I do hope your results turn out well.
So do I.
This is the end of part one. Now, skip to part two. Part two. You will hear Tony and his mum talking about online shopping. You will hear the conversation twice. For tasks A to E, tick the correct answer.
Tony, there's a parcel for you. Did you order something?
Yes, Mum. These must be my new sneakers. I told you I saved up my birthday money. Then I saw these shoes on the internet. And they're just fantastic. Where's the parcel?
It's next to the door. But listen, why didn't you tell me? We could have gone shopping together.
Nah, it was a quick decision. I saw them and knew they were perfect.
Still, I think a trip to town, going through a few shops and then having a nice cup of coffee and a piece of cake together would have been nice too.
Online shopping is so much easier. You don't even have to leave the house. That's comfy.
But how do you know if the shoes fit? You didn't try them on, did you?
No. But if they don't fit, I can send them back. They don't charge me anything for that.
I don't like this attitude. I've read an article which said that most of the items sent back to online shops are not sold anymore, but thrown away. And the energy that's wasted with the transport comes on top. It's a disgrace.
The problem was that there was only this one pair left. A banner showed up that it was the last chance to get the shoes. I had to be quick, so I took them.
You do know that that's probably not true. It's one of the online marketing tricks.
Really?
Yes, and another strategy is to limit the offer. They say this is a special offer that ends in one day. So you are pushed into buying.
They look nice, though, don't you think?
They do. But a day out in town together would have been nice, too. Tony, there's a parcel for you. Did you order something?
Yes, Mum. These must be my new sneakers. I told you I saved up my birthday money. Then I saw these shoes on the internet. And they're just fantastic. Where's the parcel?
It's next to the door. But listen, why didn't you tell me? We could have gone shopping together.
Nah, it was a quick decision. I saw them and knew they were perfect.
Still, I think a trip to town, going through a few shops, and then having a nice cup of coffee and a piece of cake together would have been nice too.
Online shopping is so much easier. You don't even have to leave the house. That's comfy.
But how do you know if the shoes fit? You didn't try them on, did you?
No. But if they don't fit, I can send them back. They don't charge me anything for that.
I don't like this attitude. I've read an article which said that most of the items sent back to online shops are not sold anymore but thrown away. And the energy that's wasted with the transport comes on top. It's a disgrace.
The problem was that there was only this one pair left. A banner showed up that it was the last chance to get the shoes. I had to be quick, so I took them.
You do know that that's probably not true. It's one of the online marketing tricks.
Really?
Yes, and another strategy is to limit the offer. They say this is a special offer that ends in one day. So you are pushed into buying.
They look nice, though, don't you think?
They do. But a day out in town together would have been nice too.
This is the end of part two. Now skip to part three. Part three. Listen to a report about megacities. You will hear the report twice. For tasks A to D, take notes to complete the cluster.
Megacities. Our world's population is growing constantly, and there are more and more megacities around the world. What are megacities? They are defined as urban areas with more than 10 million inhabitants. In 1975, there were only three megacities on the planet. Since the Industrial Revolution, people have been leaving the countryside and coming to the city centers to search for a better life. By 2018, there were 33 megacities, and this number is expected to rise to 43 by 2030. Tokyo and Delhi, with more than 30 million inhabitants, as well as Shanghai, Dhaka, Sao Paulo, and Mexico City, with more than 20 million inhabitants, are the cities with the largest population at the moment. It is a worldwide trend, but of the 33 megacities, 26 were located in developing countries. Megacities face a number of challenges, including pollution, traffic jams, and more. In addition, cities around the world are typically those with the widest gaps between the rich and the poor. Especially when the population grows quickly, unofficial settlements can develop and cause problems. However, there are also benefits to the rise of cities, such as better public transportation, less use of personal vehicles, a greater variety of job opportunities and innovation, and, in some cases, better access to healthcare, education, sanitation, and improved water sources. There are both positive and negative results of urbanization. They depend especially on the level of development and economic status. Megacities. Our world's population is growing constantly, and there are more and more megacities around the world. What are megacities? They are defined as urban areas with more than 10 million inhabitants. In 1975, there were only 3 megacities on the planet. Since the Industrial Revolution, people have been leaving the countryside and coming to the city centers to search for a better life. By 2018, there were 33 megacities, and this number is expected to rise to 43 by 2030. Tokyo and Delhi, with more than 30 million inhabitants, as well as Shanghai, Dhaka, Sao Paulo, and Mexico City, with more than 20 million inhabitants, are the cities with the largest population at the moment. It is a worldwide trend, but of the 33 megacities, 26 were located in developing countries. Megacities face a number of challenges, including pollution, traffic jams, and more. In addition, cities around the world are typically those with the widest gaps between the rich and the poor. Especially when the population grows quickly, unofficial settlements can develop and cause problems. However, there are also benefits to the rise of cities, such as better public transportation, less use of personal vehicles, a greater variety of job opportunities and innovation, and, in some cases, better access to healthcare, education, sanitation, and improved water sources. There are both positive and negative results of urbanization. They depend especially on the level of development and economic status.
This is the end of part 3. Now, skip to part 4. Part 4. You will hear an interview on a radio program about digital detox. You will hear the interview twice. For tasks A to E, tick the correct answer.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's show. My name is Rick Walker. All of us tend to be online far too much. If you feel like you are on too long, then listen up. We have Amanda Vince with us today, who is an expert on digital detox. Hello, Amanda. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Tell us, what exactly is digital detox?
Digital detox means to totally switch off all things that are digital, like mobile phones and tablets. It is becoming more and more popular, especially with young people.
Right. But you work for a fashion magazine, don't you? I guess your work means you have to be online a lot.
Oh, yes. Apart from the hundreds of emails I get every day, I'm always browsing fashion websites, as well as online videos. I also need to be very active on Twitter and Instagram, sharing what we're doing in the magazine, contacting photographers. It never stops. Then, of course, there's my friends and family to keep in touch with, too. I think I'm online for at least 12 hours a day.
Well, that's a lot. Is that why you had the idea of digital detox?
No. I read a book called Log Off: How to Stay Connected After Disconnecting. It gave me some good advice and made me think about trying to change some of my habits. I started with removing distraction.
What do you mean by that?
It means turning off all your alarms or buzzes. This helps you to focus on other things immediately. And the book said we should ask ourselves why we take out our phones all the time. Most of the time we do it automatically, to avoid something else or just to kill time.
I must confess that happens to me too. What is the next step?
Next, I am doing a weekend with absolutely no screens.
A whole weekend?
Yes, but if a weekend feels too much, maybe just try an evening. Then, step by step, do more. I guarantee, once you've tried it, you will want to try it again.
Okay, let's pause here and see what our listeners have to say. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's show. My name is Rick Walker. All of us tend to be online far too much. If you feel like you are on too long, then listen up. We have Amanda Vince with us today, who is an expert on digital detox. Hello, Amanda. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Tell us, what exactly is digital detox?
Digital detox means to totally switch off all things that are digital, like mobile phones and tablets. It is becoming more and more popular, especially with young people.
Right, but you work for a fashion magazine, don't you? I guess your work means you have to be online a lot.
Oh, yes. Apart from the hundreds of emails I get every day, I'm always browsing fashion websites, as well as online videos. I also need to be very active on Twitter and Instagram, sharing what we're doing in the magazine, contacting photographers. It never stops. Then, of course, there's my friends and family to keep in touch with too. I think I'm online for at least 12 hours a day.
Well, that's a lot. Is that why you had the idea of digital detox?
No. I read a book called Log Off: How to Stay Connected After Disconnecting. It gave me some good advice and made me think about trying to change some of my habits. I started with removing distraction.
What do you mean by that?
It means turning off all your alarms or buzzes. This helps you to focus on other things immediately. And the book said we should ask ourselves why we take out our phones all the time. Most of the time we do it automatically, to avoid something else or just to kill time.
I must confess that happens to me too. What is the next step?
Next, I am doing a weekend with absolutely no screens.
A whole weekend?
Yes, but if a weekend feels too much, maybe just try an evening. Then, step by step, do more. I guarantee, once you've tried it, you will want to try it again.
Okay, let's pause here and see what our listeners have to say.
This is the end of part 4. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers.
Thank you.